Hello, everyone. I want to start with a prayer and a song before we get to a journal entry today. So join me, please. Lord, our Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for giving us this day of life. Help us to remember that life is precious and that you want us to join you in your work here on the earth. That's why we're here. Lord, you made plans and purposes for us. And I pray that we would be obedient to your calling. I pray that we would press into you and be able to accomplish by your Holy Spirit, by your grace, the things that you have set before us this day. In Jesus' name, amen. A song was on my heart this morning, and if you'd like to look it up to sing along, I'm just going to start in the bridge part and then sing the last chorus. It's called Let There Be Light by Hillsong. Good news embracing the poor, comfort for all those who mourn, for the brokenhearted. We sing louder, release from prison and shame, oppression turning to praise. For every captive, sing louder, restoring sight to the blind, breaking the curse of the night for all in darkness. Sing louder, proclaiming freedom for all. This is the day of the Lord. Beauty for ashes, let there be light. Open the eyes of the blind. Purify our hearts in your fire. Breathe in us, we pray. Let there be light. Open our eyes to your heart, desperate just to know who you are. Shine in us, we pray. Jesus, have your way.
So I have a lot on my heart today, and this song I feel like just encapsulated a lot of it. And we pray these things with all our hearts as believers. And for many of us who struggle with our emotional wellness, with depression, we do have the gift, and I do feel like it's a gift of empathy, but we need to learn to balance that with surrender. We don't want to take on the empathy and feel the crushing weight of the world, because Jesus has already done that. He did that on the cross. He is the Savior, and we are not to be the Savior. We can pray, we can be his hands and feet. So one main thing that I wanted to talk about today, even though this journal entry will be quite a bit of venting and rambling, that I just wanted to share. The main point is that for our emotional wellness, our mental well-being, the Lord is in the business of restoration. That is what he does. He restores us to himself. He wants us to be in relationship with him. He loves us. He loves us more than we can ever imagine or comprehend. But what is beautiful is that even though we are spiritual beings, and he did come mostly for our spiritual restoration, many times he does address our physical needs as well. And so I want to challenge you, as you struggle with your mental health and wellness, to make sure that you are reflecting daily, first and foremost, on your spiritual health and knowing where you're at there, because as believers, we want to take that balanced approach. We want to, and it's not easy. The life of a Christ follower is definitely not the easy road. That's why he says it's a narrow road. But we strive for that balance. Even though we can never be perfect, we strive for it. And so there's something, I might have mentioned this before, but just working in the wellness space, one of the things that fascinated me when I studied this in college was the dimensions of wellness. And it kind of talks through research how it has been found that it is not only what we eat and our exercise that contributes to our overall well-being, but it is these eight things. And actually, there are several different images. If you Google this, there are some researchers that have narrowed it down to a smaller field, but I like the eight dimensions. And I don't have them pulled up in front of me to list them off to you, excuse me. But one of them is spiritual health. And so as Christ followers, we should be reflecting on this every day. The Lord said that his word is like our daily bread. It's the air that we breathe. And so if we're not daily just ingesting or digesting the word, if we're not meeting with him daily, if we're not taking time to praise him, to pray, we're not tending to our spiritual health, and this does affect our mental and emotional well-being. So that is first and foremost. Secondly, we take a look at our physical needs, as the Lord does. We see throughout Scripture when he healed people, even though his first aim was always the spiritual. That was his first aim. He wanted to restore. He healed many people physically, but then when he heals people, and he also says, now go and sin no more. So he's addressing the root cause of it, which is the spiritual health of the person. But he does also take care of physical needs. Like he fed the hungry crowd. He gave them food. That's a physical need. So when we look at our physical needs, when we're struggling with our health and wellness, what are the areas of our health that we are neglecting? So are we eating well? And I won't go too much on a tangent about that, but are we doing the best that we can within reason? We don't have to get extremist about these things, but are we doing all that we can to eat well, as much as it is within our power? And so that's the eating part of it. Are we getting enough rest? Are we sleeping well? Are we making sure that we go to bed at a decent time and getting good rest? Because that affects our emotional and mental well-being. If we're eating poorly and sleeping poorly, this will certainly increase our chances. If we are prone to have depression, if we struggle with anxiety, if we have focus issues, sometimes labeled ADD or ADHD, these things help. They contribute. And sometimes there's a bad connotation with exercise, but what I mean by exercise is, are we trying to be less sedentary? Are you sitting for hours on end? Maybe you work at an office and you sit for hours. Try to put an alarm on your phone. These are practical things. Put an alarm on your phone for 5 minutes every hour where you'll get up from your desk, pace around your area, however small it is, or do some jumping jacks or whatever. Depends on where you work. You may be limited as to what you can do, but we can all, pace around for a little bit, stretch. It makes a big difference. It really does. I know it sounds silly, but It truly does. I've put these into practice and it makes a big difference. So those are some physical needs. Now, when it comes to those eight dimensions that I like to think about, these are all very practical things, but yes, one of them is spiritual. Another one is those physical things. Then there's things like, are you addressing your social needs? Are you making sure that you are engaging with other people, whether you're social or not? That's okay. You may be an introvert and that's okay, but even introverts need to interact at some level. We can't just be in our own spaces, in our own mind, and never trying to push past ourselves to put ourselves out there, because we were meant to be in community. There's the intellectual dimension of health. Are we always seeking to grow and learn, to constantly be expanding? Because, you know, when I won't say read books, because I'm really not that good at that, but read books is a good way to expand our mind. But I do feel like reading the word, but then also listening to different Bible teachers, different pastors, different perspectives on things. It challenges my faith, whether I agree with the speaker or not. It forces me to refine why I believe what I believe, why it's important for me to understand things. We shouldn't be afraid to challenge our beliefs. We should never be afraid of that. God doesn't need to be defended, and so we shouldn't be afraid to really think about why it is that we believe, and it kind of helps us firm up our perspectives. There's also what else is that I could say about those dimensions? There's also environmental. Okay, so I have it pulled up here now. So there's also, they say, emotional health, which kind of just incorporates a lot of the things we've said. Environmental health, maybe the conditions that you live in are less than ideal, and that also contributes to your emotional and mental health. Just to take a step back for a minute, when I said emotional, maybe there is something going on in your life that is very tragic that you just experienced. And this is going to definitely affect where you are mental health wise. And I have gone into this a little on previous journal entries here on the podcast, that some people have depression because they just suffer from depression on a chronic basis. And then some people have depression because they've just gone through a traumatic event. And they're both depression, but they're different things. So maybe there's something going on in your life that's contributing to how you're feeling with your mental health. There is, now there's also the financial dimension. So maybe you're struggling with money. Maybe it's hard to buy groceries. Maybe it's hard to fill up your car with gas and get places. I mean, these things affect our mental health as well. Your occupational health, that's another dimension listed here. Maybe your work is a very, very stressful environment. Maybe it's a toxic environment. Maybe it's something you have to push past and just, you know, tough it out. But perhaps God is calling you to work somewhere else. These are just areas of reflection for you to see that God does care about, first and foremost, your spiritual needs. But he also wants to address all these other dimensions of your health. And he does meet us there. He does meet us in the social aspect when we're lonely, and he wants to provide us with community. Sometimes he does meet us in the financial spaces where we struggle. I can share many testimonies, and perhaps I will in the future, but God has been faithful. We've really struggled a lot in our finances, and he has met us there time and time again. In the environmental as well, where we live, maybe it's just not where he wants us to be, and he'll pluck us and put us somewhere else. I mean, everything I've mentioned here, these are all very tangible aspects of our health, mental health, emotional well-being. And so I just wanted to really take a look at these things for myself and see where am I struggling here. If I'm addressing the spiritual needs, maybe I need to pray specifically for one of these other areas where I say, God, I need you in this area. And maybe it's more than one. Likely it is, because we live in a broken world. And over the past week and a half of this, it was just Thanksgiving here in the United States. And there was a week off, and I was able to connect with some people that had been a while that I haven't talked to them. And just in talking and reflecting, as I frequently do, it's just always a reminder that we live in a broken world. We live in, we do live in quite a bit of darkness, but there is light. The Lord is the light, and we who love him and follow him, we reflect that light. And so that song at the beginning, it's like, Lord, we pray over all this brokenness, the people who need your freedom, the people who need the truth. You know, it's okay to struggle with sin. It's okay. We all have a sin struggle, and no one sin struggle is worse than another. Despite our humanity wants to do that, our humanity wants to put a label on, like, oh, well, that's far worse. No, they're all equal at the foot of the cross, and he died for every sin. So it is okay that we all have a sin struggle, but what we do with that, what we do with that sin struggle is what matters. Are we going to hold on to it? Are we going to follow our own way? Are we going to give in to that sin struggle? Are we going to claim it and just shrug our shoulders and say, well, this is what I deal with. Too bad if you don't like it. No, we live in a posture of surrender daily. We need help with our sin struggle. We want freedom from it. We don't want to be a prisoner to our flesh. We don't want to give in to our emotions. Our emotions will lie to us. They'll keep us tied down. They'll keep us from experiencing freedom. And there is so much love and light and freedom and beauty and greater. There is greater when we choose to surrender, when we choose, Lord, this is such a struggle for me. I want you. When our focus is God, when our focus is the Creator and his ways, we rise above and outside of ourselves. And we don't have to be a prisoner. We don't have to be tied down to what our flesh wants or tells us. That does not bring true happiness. But there is a hump to get over. And that hump to get over is ourselves. We have to want to surrender. We have to say, this is really hard. This is so hard. And I'm going to climb over that to give it to the Lord. And it is there where he meets us. And he just does the radical and beautiful transformation that our soul truly wants. We think what we want is what we want, you know, what we're craving, what we're desiring. But honestly, we want what God wants. It is there that we find true happiness and true meaning of life, because this life is so brief. It is precious. It is a gift, but it's so brief. And the next life to come is forever. So I pray that that is encouraging, inspiring, and just a call, like a challenge to you. And as always, I record these things so that I can listen back to God's faithfulness and how he's challenging me, and to remind myself on the difficult days what the Lord has spoken to me, what he's revealing to me, so that I don't forget. So I hope that you will take these little tips for whatever it's worth and try them. And I pray for you, and pray that this just encourages even one person out there in the world. And thanks so much for listening and being a part of my faith journey. And until next time, bye-bye for now.